realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So here's the thing. Boldness is not arrogance. It's not pride. Boldness is not fault-finding. Boldness is not a sin hunt. Boldness, I want you to know, some people think, well, I just told them the truth. Well, I got them told. Listen, I've said it so many times, you should be able to repeat it to me. But the Word of God is either a surgical tool that brings healing, or it's a bludgeoning weapon when it is not used with the character of God. So we have to be careful. Because when Christian goes to Christian and they start pointing out sin, just trust me, if they're going to do it to you, they're going to do it to everybody. If somebody talks to you about a brother or sister in a negative way, just be sure you know they'll be happy to talk about you too. That is reflective of character, okay? So be careful with that. You need to realize that when we serve God, I have to make up my mind. I'm not intimidated by Satan. I've had some people call me, one lady said one day at church, she said, my neighbor's been throwing these bones and doing voodoo over into my yard. And I said, well, what did you do? She said, I threw them back in their yard and then their truck didn't start the next day. And I went, God, I want you to hear me. Number one, throw your bone in my yard. It don't do nothing, okay? That's going to decompose and probably feed the soil, all right? Because I'm a child of God. But no way would I entangle myself with something I believe was voodoo and put it back and be excited to see somebody else hurt. Now, I'm not mad about it. That just shows a maturity level. But you have to understand, if I'm insecure, if I'm intimidated by Satan, guys, he's going to bounce me all over the place with just whatever it takes. And so we have to learn that Jesus is alive. These men from the temple recognized they had been with Jesus. Jesus is still alive. Jesus is still active. And they recognized that there was an anointing because they said, they took note that these men had been with Jesus because they were unschooled and ordinary men. So there had to be something feeding them extra wisdom and extra knowledge that they knew they couldn't have had. Now, if Paul had had this conversation, they'd have thought, well, he's a learned man. He's very knowledgeable. But here's the deal. Throw the excuse out the door that I can't speak up for Jesus because I don't know as much as somebody else. And I mean this with all my heart. When Christians try to intimidate you with their knowledge, don't buy into it. Because I want to tell you, a child can speak a word and amaze you in a minute. I remember that Steve and I were on staff somewhere, and the lead pastor was upset because we had spent a lot of time with someone that they felt was a waste of our time. But we felt like we needed to do it. And Leah was sitting at the desk coloring, and I guess she was probably in the second grade or something like that because Jake hadn't started school yet. And she just put that color down. And she looked up and she said, there is nobody perfect except making perfect mistakes. She just picked that color up and went right back to color. Well, there was nothing else to say, okay? But it's because I believe, guys, we discount. We are intimidated by our lack of knowledge. And I believe this to the core, to the core, to the core of my being. If no other scripture you can believe except that, with God, all things are possible. If you can just begin to speak that, if you can begin to say that, I believe that nothing will be impossible to you because you've unleashed yourself from having to be the burden bearer and you picked him up and said, that's on you. And I don't need to explain it because all I want to do is see it, all right? When you get hung up in the explanation, you're giving fear and doubt more credit than the Lord. So they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They knew he was alive. You got to remember that Matthew 20:20 says, I'm always going to be with you. He's alive. He's active. That means he's active even today. And that anointing was there. So when I was thinking about this, I thought about the anointing. You know, we always think of like, or I guess I have from Old Testament teaching about David and the oil, you know, running down, or on Moses, whoever's anointed. But in this case, I think more of Lucy. Anybody in here never seen an I Love Lucy show? Okay. Do you remember, for those of you who have, there was one where they went to Italy or Europe or somewhere, and she has this big, long tube of cheese that she wants to bring back to America. Some of you are already nodding. So she pretends it's a baby, right? Because, you know, there's a law. You can't bring no plants, no, you know, vegetation, no animal products back into the States. And so they told her. So she wrapped it up like a baby. But on the way here, you know, to America, she had to start eating that cheese because she knew they're going to take it from her. So at the end of it, where's the baby, right? But the baby, the cheese, she didn't bring it in the blanket, but she still brought it in inside of her. Are you listening with spiritual ears? Because when I take and eat the Word of God and trust God, Lord, I release it. Guys, this is a hard thing to do, to break our will to begin to trust God. But there's something where we take, and that's what I think about daily bread. I'm just taking this in. That's why when we've been studying about the benefits of salvation, every day I should start the day off with, God, just give me my measure of faith today. I'm just asking, I'm needing a fresh daily bread. Just give me what I need for this day. Forget about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow, because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit cleaning crew goes before us and behind us, and He makes a crooked way straight. We can trust Him. So Jesus is alive, He's active, and there is an anointing with Him. So now I want us to look at the second part, because we just looked at, that's God the Son. They recognized that Jesus was, they had been with Jesus. Now we're going to look at verse 29, where the boldness that came in this second part, that is a benefit of your salvation, you can have it too. This is where they reached out to God the Father. So I'd like to read verses 24 through 29 to you. Okay. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Now, who are they talking to? Verse 24. Sovereign God. Okay, they're talking to God the Father. And now they're going to quote from, I think it's Psalm 2, 1 and 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against the Anointed One. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided before this should happen. That's an important verse. They're telling God that they recognized before anything happened, it was only according to your will and your power. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. I went an extra verse there, but let me reread verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They didn't say, Lord, we've considered their threats. They heard it. Hey, God, take care of this. Okay? So I got to decide who's bigger. Whose battle is this? Mine or the Lord's? I've got to decide who's for us and who's against us. Because what does the word say? If God is for us, that's right. I have to take that word. So they not only took the word that they were living, but they took the scripture that they recognized from their father David, who David had known the Lord, and they began to speak that word. Sin will not win, and faith will not fail. I'm just going to tell you. The Bible says there's sin for a season, but they're not going to win. And if you're looking at people's victory who are in sin, you've got your eyes off the Savior. And we got to get our eyes back on Him and stay focused on Him. So here's what I see. They're saying, give us the power to do what the world says you can't do. Man, if there is a prayer for today, here it is. God, give us the power to do what the world is saying you can't do. That I'll speak it. Not just that I'll speak it, but I'll put my hand to it, that I can say to the weak unbeliever, even an unbeliever, I can speak life over that person. That to another believer, we can pray and touch one another and have miraculous things begin to happen. We went Saturday afternoon, the Haltom Strong group came and they had a free social at the rec center for everybody. And then they came on Tuesday and did the ice cream social here yesterday for all our kids at Kids Cafe. It was precious. But while Steve and I were there on Saturday to, you know, support their work, there was an older lady there, and her daughter and her granddaughter were there serving. And she said, when my daughter was in the youth group, who now was the mother of the granddaughter, who's a Haltom Strong member, she said she was in the youth group at Christian Center. And she said, I was so sick. And she said, I went and they told me that I had a growth inside and it was on my lung. And she said, I was going to have surgery. And she said, Boyd McSpadden came to the hospital. Now, she was honest and told me they all came because they liked to hear Gary McSpadden sing. That's a beautiful thing. But she said, Pastor Boyd went to the hospital where she was. And she started crying when she told me this story. When you think about this. And she said, he looked at her and he said, do you have faith to believe that God can heal you? And she said, yes. And she said, he said, but do you have faith to believe? And she said, yes, I do. And she said, he prayed for me. And she said, the next day, she said, they had the before and after x-rays. That thing was gone off of me. And she began to cry. And I want to tell you something, guys. The man that Peter and John raised up, they didn't even ask him about faith. He went to them for money, and God met the need of what they needed. And I want to tell you, provision isn't always green, and provision shouldn't be a plastic card. Provision comes from God, and I'm believing for God to walk in this church and provide for what we need for the next generation so that this building is not a dinosaur, and it doesn't have stuff lacking. And you better hear me and hear me clearly because I'm on fire about this. I believe those who lay their hands to this will be blessed. And I look at Michael Mann telling me the stories of his family who were involved in the first renovations of this church long before any of us. But Michael, can you look back and see the faithfulness of God from the skills that you and your family use still to this day providing for you and your family? I'm telling you, you're never going to invest in God. And it doesn't have to be green. I'm telling you, God, we got skills around here that could be used and many blessings come. And I'm grateful for you, Chris. Chris has helped us out sometimes with things that we couldn't afford. But I believe that the power and the presence of God has put into their bank account what we couldn't. Because I'm going to tell you, God will make stuff go farther. Can I get an amen? So he comes in here, and here's what he's recognizing in verse 24. He says, you're the creator. God, you're the creator. He says in verse 25 and 28, and you're the controller. You're going to say how things go. And he says in verse 28 again, and you've already conquered. We have to have confidence in God that he is the creator, he's the controller, and he's going to be the conqueror of everything that we have. Is there anybody in this room who you've prayed for something for a long time, and it may have taken years, but you finally saw the answer come from God? Lift your hand. Amen. Now, is there anybody in this room who's prayed for a long time for something and you haven't seen it, but you still have faith to believe God can do it? Come on, I'm with the right group tonight, because I want to tell you, I've got confidence in God to know that he is the creator, that he's the controller, and that he's the conqueror. But I know that he is alive, I know that he is active, and I know that that anointing, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is living in me. We're going to move forward tonight. So, before you, before we get to wherever it is that tomorrow's going to take us, He's already there. John, I praise God he's provided a place for you. Okay? Praise God for that. And can I just say this? How many times did we think that we were having to move down the chain or we were getting a demotion, and after it's all over, you look back and you go, oh, hey, that wasn't... Or when you get ahead of God and you make something happen and then you get what you want, but it wasn't what you wanted, and God was trying to tell you the whole time, but I'm going to get that. Get me that. And then you're miserable once you get it, right? That's why I have to trust him that all things are in control. And in this passage, that's what they're saying. God, that was you. Listen, God spoke it and it happened. It wasn't years of wear and tear and evolving and figuring things out. Now we're going to morph. I saw that word Japan now. They've lifted the ban and they're going to start trying to cross animals with humans. Guys, it's the world is sick, but listen to me. He is greater. Somebody's wanting attention. There'll be something they cannot reproduce. Listen to me. Things that are not of God cannot reproduce because he's made a way for us to be blessed. And that's going to come through our trust and our faith and our confidence. Let's just give a hallelujah to the Lord because he's doing it. Amen. Oh, I forgot to give my offering. It fell out. I'll do it later. Okay, the third thing we want to look at tonight is courage from the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go back to Acts chapter 4. We're going to reread verses 29 through 31. This is the third time you're going to hear the word boldness, okay? He says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. My courage has to come from an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's why I don't go and, you know, here's what... Let me just use a little something. This is just so fresh. Just happened today. Craziest thing ever. So after lunch, there's a phone call, and I picked it up, and this lady said, hey, I was bringing my donations, and whoever I talked to told me to bring them to the front of the church, and they'd meet me there on the steps to take the donation. I'm like, well, who in the world? I was like, well, so Hayden and Cheryl are there. So I said, no, you're going to drive over to the double glass doors, and there's a big 4301. You're going to come there, and we'll be waiting for you. So Hayden's like, oh, you know, Miss Gay, I got this. He's so sweet. So I'm like, okay, you know. So I'm watching. The lady pulls up. Cheryl helps him. I didn't think anything about it, just nothing about it. So then a little bit later, I don't know how the sequence actually happened, but Angela's trying to call another extension, and a lady, like she's calling her office to Leslie's, and another lady from the outside answers and goes Christian Center, and it's not a voice anybody recognizes. So Shelly's out from the campus, and she calls in and gets the same person answering the phone, Christian Center. So somehow they've hacked into our phone line today, who the chief of police told me they've never even heard of this. But clearly, then it dawned on me, oh, those donations. Somebody was going to meet them and take the donations that were meant for the church, right? So, you know, I'm like going to do a sting. I'm like, well, let's call and we'll tell them and we'll go up there and we'll get pictures. And I'm thinking, maybe I should involve the police, you know, whatever. And so anyway, I made a phone call. They hadn't heard of this before. But here's the thing. We didn't go in there, oh, somebody's hacked our line. Oh, dear God, they've gotten through. It was like, hey, Angela, Leslie, where's Shelly? We're going to pray. And that's what they did. They said, it doesn't, guys, tell Jesus, be a child of God tattletale. Go tell your daddy what the world's trying to do to you and let him handle it. Okay? So what happens is the Holy Spirit relieves us of the burden to make it happen. He wants to lift these burdens. Well, you know, if I don't do this, they're not going to like me. And if they don't like me, they're going to blame Jesus. So I want them to like Jesus. So I'm going to let them use me and make a fool of me. And then my kids are going to watch me and think that's how I'll let people treat them. Are you listening? When I get off of God's plan, somebody's watching me. And if I'm proclaiming Him, then they think that's the way to do it. And it's not. I have to trust Him. I've got to get my courage from the Holy Spirit. Because listen, I'm not afraid. I'd gone out there. So I called. I called them. Hey, I left them. Hey, if you, I got some donations. Call me back at this number. Okay? Didn't get a call back yet. But if I do, I'm going to meet them out there. Still be taking pictures. Okay? You know, like, I'm not afraid. I am not afraid. But if the Holy Spirit says to me, not your battle. But God, I'm going to get, no, not your battle. I have to listen to Him. Gay, how do I know? I'm going to tell you how you know. You're going to have peace. You're going to know I shouldn't do that. Get honest with me. Don't you know that? When you ask Him something, you know if you should do it or not, right? But we just want what we want sometimes, but we're doing it. I have to get my courage from the Holy Spirit. That's going to come from a servant who is surrendered. I have to say, God, as Annette Langford says, I want it Yah way and not my way, okay? I want to do it the way you want me to do it. And get this, it was Peter. Peter, the one who had guilt, who had shame, who had condemnation from denying Jesus. But now the word says they were shaken. This isn't an Acts 2 teaching. This is Acts 4. This to me is a scripture I can use when people say, well, you know, Acts 2, that was a one-time thing. No, no. Acts 4, they implemented the Holy Spirit again. There was another shaking. There was another filling. And it gave them the strength and the boldness to go forth. Boldness is a benefit of your salvation. As we studied last week, there was an anger. Anger means realizing something isn't right. I'm coming against this. It's not right. There's that boldness when you have that kind, but it's not going to lead you to sin. Right? When you've had enough of being used, even if you're willing to do it, are the generations watching you? Do you want them to repeat it? No, no. I'm not going to do that. But here's Peter, who overcame being a denier to being the one who's saying, God, it's up to you. And recognize this, Peter wasn't just reconciled with God, he was reconciled with John. John wasn't holding anything against him. You're not going to work and do great things for God if you've got something against the person he's called you to work with. Another message for another day. So here's what happens. He says, I want you to express. They wanted to express, give us the boldness to speak, to express you, to express who you are. I put export, you know, you're going to import or export. I've got something to give you. The actual scripture that we read from in the NIV says, enable me. Give me the ability to do this. And then they go into exalting, God, it's you. You're the one who's going to get the credit. Because we know it's you who has to do this. The enemy wants to ride your back and make you think you have to make this happen. And then he tries to wear you because you've been praying for this for a year and 2 years and 3 years. But I want to tell you something tonight. It's worth it to me to keep praying because I believe that souls are worth the prayer. Not the criticism, not the sin hunt, not the fault finding, not the arrogance of what I know. This kind of servitude I'm talking about is not about me. Because I want to tell you, I've looked foolish. I'm happy to look foolish for the Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Think what he looked like for you and me. Mocking him, spitting at him, pulling at his beard. Making fun of him, but he didn't care if he was made to look little because he saw you and me. And we can't give up on these prayers. I'm not telling you to enable people. I'm telling you to enable the power of the Holy Spirit over these situations and have enough courage to say, God, whatever it takes. See, some of us don't want to pray that prayer. Yeah, tell the truth. Some of us don't want to pray that prayer. And there have been times I said to the Lord, I'm not going to pray that because I don't want you to hurt my baby. And later when you see your baby can't make wise choices, you'll say, God, I lay him on the altar. And whatever it takes, I want you to save my baby.
I want you to save my grandkids. I want you to make a way. And I want to tell you, you may not see it in one generation, but the word says that it increases the anointing from generation to generation. And I just want to share a little story about my Connor Evans. Connor was in history class, and they were studying, not American history, they were studying about foreign gods, okay? So they're teaching them about Buddha, they're teaching them about whatever, and now they're on to Egyptian gods, you know, the Sphinx and the, you know, whatever that little dachshund hound looking thing is. And, you know, so they're telling them, they told Connor, you have to write a paper on this. Now, Connor's 12 years old at this time. So Connor, he's done the one paper, he's done the second one. Now when they come up to this one, he's just fed up, okay? So he says to the teacher, raises his hand at the end of class, he says, can I just write a paper about Jesus? That's a religion. And the teacher says, no, we're not going to study that. And Connor says, well, I don't think it's, sir, very kind, I don't think it's fair that I have to write papers on these and study these when they're false gods and Jesus is the true. And I want to write a paper on him. So the kids are mocking him at this point in the class. Oh, Jesus. You know, and some of them are just silent and in shock, right? But the teacher is like very, no, you will do this or, you know, whatever. So the teacher calls Charity, his mother, our oldest daughter, and says, hey, I have a problem with Connor. Okay, so what's the problem? And he had told her what had happened. Well, you know, he said today he didn't want to do the assignment. Charity said, was he rude? No. Did he just ask a question? Yes. Did he interrupt you at any point? No. Was there anything he did that was out of line? Well, no, but he just said he wasn't going to do this. She said, well, did he ask? And she said, yes. She said, okay, then. So the next day, Charity goes and talks to the principal. She's like, hey, that's not right. This is against what we believe. And if you're not going to teach what we believe as well, he has a right to say, I'm not going to write that. He's grieved by it. So they came back in, and they're going to give him one more chance to conform. So he stands up, and he says, he stands up, raises his hand, and gets out of his desk and stands up, and he said, I won't write that paper, but I will write one on Jesus Christ, and I'll take whatever the consequences are. And I want to tell you something. He got mocked for that. But here's the end of the story. The teacher called Charity, and she told her, she said, I've never seen such conviction and faith in a child. And I went home and told my husband, we're going to start going back to church. I had a kid in my class put me to shame today about believing in Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something. They could mock him, but it's not him they're mocking. It's the Holy Spirit. But when somebody, if more of us stood up like that, not in arrogance, not in sin hunting, not in condemnation, but stood up and said, that grieves me and I won't do it. The Lord had me do something the other day that I thought, well, it's going to make me look stupid, but I didn't care. I really didn't. And I asked again, and I got to pray somewhere where they normally don't have prayer. And it wasn't about me. I'd already heard the Holy Spirit give me just like a little four-word phrase, and I thought, oh, that's how you want me to pray over that. I thought it was just all about me and him. We're having a good time. But no. So when I finally heard you can pray, I was like, what am I going to pray? That little four-word phrase came back, and that's what I prayed. And I want to tell you, God is bigger than my needs and yours because he's making up a kingdom for his sake. So here's the deal. 1 John 4:17, it says, this is how love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything in his will, he hears us. So now you're coming along and you're saying, okay, you know, I'm trying to do these things, you know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm going to come back and, you know, I'm going to stay in the company with Jesus. I'm going to find my confidence. in the Father God, and now I'm going to have the courage from the Holy Spirit, but how does this really apply to me? Let's look at that. The world does not want to embrace all religions and have plurality. That's what they're preaching. But the world wants to single out Jesus and annihilate the Word. They don't want the Word Jesus said. If that's not true, how come you can still say Buddha? How come you can still say Mohammed? Even the Jews, when they pray and don't say Messiah or Jesus, that's okay. Just don't say Jesus. I want to tell you what that is. Now, I don't care how you take it. I'm just going to tell you because I love you and I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. But this is persecution and this is bigotry. That's what it is. When you tell me that I can't pray the way that I've been taught to pray, and it's okay with me. I don't mind if my Jewish brother gets up there and says, you know, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's okay with me. We can relate there. You know, if somebody comes in and, you know, Muhammad, whatever. Guys, that's not going to be greater than who's in me. I'm not intimidated by that. You with me? But neither am I going to stop talking about the name of Jesus, because if I quit, that's the only power for people to be saved. And why is it singled out? Because people still don't want to bow and surrender to the name that is above every name, because if I admit it, then I'm going to have to start obeying it. Don't give in. Don't be fueled by anger, hatred. That's a flesh fight. Those are not the way. We've already studied these benefits of salvation. You're not going to be benefited. These are not that anger when you're mad and you want to hurt somebody and you just let somebody start. Yeah. That hatred when you really want to see somebody destroyed. Yeah. When that flesh fight, I'm going to get you told because the Word of God says. That's not the way of the Spirit. This is not what we're talking about. The benefit of boldness is to say with love and compassion, God, how can I share Jesus with them? You may get it's not your place. Just pray. I'm bringing somebody else to sow that seed. You may just be walking into something and not even realize. Steve told you Sunday about the guy we bought our car from because the other guy wasn't there. And then the Lord just opens the door and it was beautiful. But I didn't see him being brought to salvation. I knew God was working, but somebody else is going to go in and harvest that fruit, that soul. Because I'm telling you, God went deep. So how can I share Jesus with others boldly in the confidence of God? It's got to be relational between you and God. It's got to be relational. Two things. You have to read the Bible and see him in the Bible, even if it's just a scripture or a sentence, until it becomes real to you. Like I just started out with, if the only scripture you know is God, all things are possible with you, to him who believes. And then you want to tag on Mark 9, but Lord help my unbelief. He even makes a way for us who don't have enough faith. How good is he? So today, Lord, I need a new measure of faith because it's a new day. Bring it. Help me. The second thing is not just has to be an inward relationship through the Bible and when I pray. And Steve's already told you about, you know, sitting two chairs, one in front of the other, facing each other, and buying two donuts, and he eats one and gives Jesus the other donut. And then at the end of the conversation, he says, are you going to eat that? Because he wants to eat it. We don't do that anymore. But now it's broccoli. Yeah. Thank God it's not kale. Just want to say, yes. So that's relational. That's you interacting. It's the same as getting a letter from someone in the mail. It's the same as talking on the phone with someone. But so there's the relational part. And then the second thing is the outward offering of what happened from that relationship. This is so simple. Gay, I don't have the courage. Okay. Don't answer. Don't raise your hand. Don't look guilty. When you go out to eat in a restaurant, do you bow your head and visibly say a blessing so everyone can see that you're doing it? Well, you know, that looks a little showy. It's an outward representation to people that you are unashamed of Jesus. Now, I don't want you going in there and go, God, help me, you know, today, God, I'm praying over everybody in here who didn't pray over their food, Lord. No, I'm just saying, say a prayer. And not only say a prayer, but I'm going to go a step further. If you see somebody who does say a blessing, you go by their table. When you're done eating, you say, hey, I just want to thank you for saying a prayer over your food today. You will encourage them to continue that. I've done that so many times, especially with people who have children, and I'll say, thank you for doing that. Kids, that's a blessing to have parents that do that. I'm pulling alongside that parent and reinforcing that to them. Another way to do it, it's just so simple. Keep a Bible in your purse, in your desk drawer. You don't have to put it out there and draw a neon arrow to it, you know, because you don't want a Bible around if you ain't living it. That's hypocritical. But if I have a Bible, I want people to know I carry this with me. I keep it with me. It is important to me. Another thing that you can do, and this is going to take courage, but if somebody's in trouble, you just stop. You're in the hospital. People are crying over there. Listen, it's not easy. And I'm not going to say it gets easier, because you can see when people, you know, are rough and, you know, but if I feel the Lord tapping on me, I'll go, guys, you know, we're here. Would you like for me to pray with you guys? Would that be okay? If somebody barks at me, I'm just like, okay. But there are people in that group, I'll guarantee you, who wanted that prayer and it meant something to them. It's not about me making a display. But guys, there's been people on the phone that call for food and whatever. Monday, this lady called and she's like, they're turning off our utilities. I said, well, listen, we're not a large church. I don't have the money for that. I can provide food and clothing. Get your food here and then use that money for utilities. And I said, but can I just pray with you? Just burst into tears. Please pray for me. I'm so scared. 2 months, you know, and you get this long story about workman's comp or whatever. And I'm like, hey, let's just pray. God can change that paperwork. So we just prayed, and I could tell she was calming down. I said, okay, I can tell you have peace. And I used that scripture. I said, I don't have the money, but what I have, I'm going to give you, and God's going to bring what you need. And she goes, oh, I believe that. Thank you so much. And do you do clothing, because I'm going to need a job, and I don't have, yes, come, you know, listen, just offer. All they can say is no. And here's the other thing. You got a friend who's bad-mouthing people and whatever, I've already told you, whether they're Christian or not, if they're bad-mouthing other people, they're going to bad-mouth you. You just better be careful. I'm trying to save you some hurt, whirl of hurt up in here. But here's the deal. Somebody, oh, this is really bad, and, you know, I don't like that, and these people, whatever. You just go, hey, here's what I want. I want to share a little story with you. And you just begin to give them your testimony. You know, man, there was a time when I was angry too, and, you know, I was mad at people, and I was treated really wrong. And I stayed mad for about a year, and it was a wasted year. And once I finally gave that to the Lord, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter to me anymore what they do or what they say. If you have a story where God reconciled it, God brought it around, share your testimony. Nobody can take your testimony away from you unless you allow it. The world is never going to stop us from loving and praising Jesus, because we have a testimony. We have an interpersonal relationship with Him. So here's the thing. Tonight, guys, we have to make a decision. If I want the benefit of boldness, do I want it to increase the kingdom and to help others, or do I want boldness for me so I can look good? So I can get what I want. No. No. And anything that teaches using the Word of God so that we can overcome or look better than other people, that's not His character. There is no leveling in the Spirit. We're all the same, and we are all loved. And in fact, there are more scriptures to back up care for the poor than there are for the rich. So I want you to know something. You may think you're poor in spirit. Okay, I don't know all that stuff. I don't know what you know. How do you think we learn what I have to teach you, except we have to go through it, right? So I want to save you from my heartaches. I want to save you. I want to tell you the truth. I can't heal my children, and I can't make my children be saved, but I'm still believing in the name of Jesus they'll be set free from every bondage, every lie this world has put on my kids, everything that is speaking to my grandkids and luring them. I'm believing in the name of Jesus that there's going to be power and the anointing of God will go into places I can't go. I speak life. I want you to stand up right now. I'm just going to begin to pray over you. I speak life over you right now, that wherever you're going tomorrow, Holy Spirit, we have the confidence you're there. Jesus, we call on you because you are alive. You are active. We need the anointing that gave you the strength and the courage to go through this to help us, God, in our time of Gethsemane, in our time, God, of Calvary, when we're dying to things, God, of this world. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now to raise up, God, give us the ability to be enabled. Able to have that feeling to speak your word, to share it, Lord, unashamed. You go before every person in this room tonight, God, because they are hungry for your word, God. They are hungry, God, to experience you. Fill them tonight. Go before them. Do the miraculous things, not, God, to fill our pocketbooks, but to fill, God, the heavens with your praise and your glory, that you're making a way where there has been no way. We call home the lost tonight, God. We love them, Lord. We love them, God. We call them home to know your love, Lord. Oh, God, I pray tonight that every effort to find hope in the world will be closed off to them quickly, so that they can run to you quicker, Holy Spirit, so that they can know the truth of who you are and find that peace, that they don't have to keep repeating behavior to get 5 minutes of peace. But God, it'll be something that'll stay, and it'll grow, and it will remain, and it will mature us. God, I'm asking tonight for those in this room, we receive the benefit of salvation, of boldness over us. God, you are greater than the world. Can you declare that? God, my faith will not fail. Just say it out loud. God, my faith will not fail. Because my faith is in you. And your power is in me. And you will get all the glory. God, we just thank you for this tonight. We thank you, Lord, tonight that there is a shaking in us, that our houses, God, our foundations are going to be sure and secure because of your answers to our prayer. And God, we're believing tonight for mighty things. And Lord, no matter what the adversity, no matter who taps in, no matter who hacks, no matter what the world says, I'm still going to say what you say. And I'm going to believe, Lord, because you're greater than anything else in this world. And we give you praise and glory for that tonight in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. 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 Woo, he's so good, isn't he? Yeah, let's just give him a big hand clap. Woo, thank you, Lord. Yes, amen.